Society, still the nation's number one talk news and sports radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're broadcasting live from our audiovisual studios right here in Itumiyan Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos. My name is Mary Anacon, and this is A's and Nays. And on today's A's and Nays, I'm going to be joined by a human rights lawyer, Inibare Fiong, and Dr. Monde Ubani. They're both going to be talking with me about the human rights angle of what's happening in Delta and Bayelsa State. Of course, we've heard all kinds of things emanating from that event that took place in Delta State early this month. We saw a very emotional, funeral yesterday held in honor of the slain soldiers. And of course, the things that Mr. President has promised, you know, to the families of the slain. But then I did also have an interview with the president of the Joy Youth Council of Nigeria, Jonathan Lukbobri, who made claims also that there have been reprisal attacks that have also, you know, spread all the way down into Bayelsa. People being killed, people floating on River Nun, etc., etc. So today we're going to be talking about the human rights angle of this situation in the Delta. How it's been handled by government, how it's been handled by the legislature, and I'm talking about the executive, the legislature, and should the judiciary be brought in here, being that the stories have been very unclear. Yes, the Defense Headquarters has put out a statement, and of course put out a wanted list of people who they think were behind the killings of these soldiers, either by shielding the killers or whatever. They've put out that, list of people who they have declared wanted. But there are those who are also saying, what about those who have died in the line of fire, victims of a reprisal, victims of what had happened, even though most of these people did not have a hand in what happened on March 14th, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I'm still waiting for my guests to join me. Dr. Monde Ubani and Inibare Fiong are yet to join me via Zoom. So once they join us, we'll kickstart that conversation. But the big question that everyone's asking is, how do those people get justice? How do we even know how many people have been killed? Being that at some point, the police chief in Delta State said they couldn't get access into those communities to even be able to ascertain the situation of things on the ground. Again, Jonathan Lukbobri made a claim that even some of those communities that have been taken over, there was a video of a man saying, can we at least have water and have access to food so that we can actually leave while we're under siege? And allegedly, the soldier retorted that, well, you will not see water and you will not see food. Obviously, angry at the fact that his comrades had been killed. But the situation that's going on in that area now, knowing that also most recent, is that the house of an elder statesman, Chief Clark, was also ransacked. The army claimed that they got intel that there was one of those people who they were looking for hiding in his quarters. And there have been several other issues that have been raised in the bid to try to get the killers or the people who are behind the killings of these soldiers. Have human rights been abused? I'm going to give you some statistics about human rights abuses in this country that have been tied to the army, and the fact that Lukbobri continuously has said that the Niger Delta has been under siege by the army, and no one has been able to give account of the things that have been happening in those communities. So again, it's a question of who do we believe and what do we believe? Inibare Fiong is a human rights lawyer. He's joining us right now via Zoom. Mr. Inibare, it's so good to have you join us. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Great. Can you turn on your video for us, please? First and foremost, I was just laying a background as to what has happened for the past few weeks in Delta State that has also trickled down to Bayelsa State. I did have Jonathan Lukbobri, who is representing Joy Youth Council, who spoke about the fact that people are being killed in the creeks, even in Bayelsa State. And the truth is that police officers, the media, cannot go into these communities to ascertain if people have actually been killed, how many people have been displaced, and who's really actually a victim here and who's a perpetrator. We also have a report that people have been seen floating on River Non as a result of soldiers opening fire on them. And so we're looking at the human rights angle of this situation. Yes, of course, it's a terrible thing that has been done to our soldiers. But what about the people who are caught in the crossfire? And that's where you come in.
For me, I think the whole situation is very problematic in the sense that it essentially epitomizes a country whose governance system is barely functional. It goes to show how weak our institutions are. It also portrays our military as one that is highly fractured, a military that has suffered from years of abuse in the sense that it has been deployed for engagements and interventions that are ordinarily matters that are meant for the police. I don't understand what the specific assignment of the military was in that community. Of course, we have read conflicting accounts. In one breed, it was suggested initially that, the military went there for a peacekeeping mission. Subsequently, we were told that, no, it wasn't really a peacekeeping mission, that the military went there because of wall bunkering or whatever. So we have this conflicting narrative on what exactly the mission was. Now, if we are unable to say with certainty what the mission of the military was in the community in Delta State, you see, it becomes really difficult to speak to other issues and even what really transpired. Because I would have thought that if there are two warring communities, that the Delta State Police Command should be able to tackle that. I'm not going to accept that the Delta State Police Command lacks the capacity, lacks the resources, lacks the personnel to intervene to ensure that warring communities are restrained. I'm not going to accept that. Why did we need to deploy the military? Why did we need to send the armed forces to that community? What was going on in that community? So these are the questions that must be answered. And then you look at the manner that this personnel of the armed forces were killed. About 15, when you have about 15% of the armed forces in that manner, it doesn't portray the country in good light. You begin to wonder how this was possible. The claim is that they were ambushed. And then you also ask the question, when the military is entering into a conflict zone, do they have an advanced team? Do they also, take steps to ensure that they gather the necessary intelligence, right? How is it possible for the military to be ambushed in that manner and for you to have that high number of casualties recorded by the armed forces in that community? And when the soldiers were attacked, did they respond in defense? How many of the attackers were killed? Are they telling us that when this attack took place and these soldiers were killed, that none of the attackers, was also killed? What really happened? So these are the facts that can only come out if there is an independent inquiry. Now, the killing of a single soldier is condemnable because the armed forces essentially represents the status of a state, the capacity of a country to defend itself. When the armed forces is weakened, when the armed forces is compromised, the territorial integrity of a country is at stake. The integrity of that country is also at stake. So we are not going to tolerate the killing of our soldiers, and I entirely condemn it, but at the same time, we must ask the pertinent questions. I have already asked some of those questions. The other questions are, what happened after the attack? Did the military go back for a reprisal? And when they went for a reprisal, who did they carry the, who was the target of the reprisal? Today, I read that 8 people from that community have been declared wanted. And I also find that a bit unfortunate, because I know that the court has already ruled and it is settled law. The armed forces have no right to declare anybody wanted, particularly civilians.
But there are people who are making a case, Ms. Inibelefiong, that this was an act, a clear act of terrorism, and that's why the army has the right to declare these people wanted.
No, it is not terrorism. I think that is just an exaggeration, because if you say terrorism, there has to be some objective, isn't it? Either some political objective or some organized, you know, there has to be some level of organization. That fact has not been put out. The word terrorism should not just be used loosely. If you are saying that this was a terrorist attack, then what is the objective of the attackers? What is their motivation? I see this as pure criminality. I see the killing as an act of murder, which is a state offense, and which is a civil matter. It is a matter for the civil law courts to handle. If those people are arrested by the military, will they be court-martialed? What would the armed forces do with them?
Mm.
Or would they just summarily execute them? Would they torture them? So why is the military declaring them wanted if ultimately they are arrested and then the military has no power or jurisdiction to bring them to justice, supposing that they are even guilty?
Mm.
You get the point?
Yes.
So if you are declaring somebody wanted in furtherance of investigation, and you succeed in arresting the person, what will you do to the person? These individuals are not subject to service law. They are not members of the, they are not personnel of the armed forces. They cannot be tried in the military court. They cannot be court-martialed. If they have committed an offense, the matter should have simply been referred to the police for investigation.
Mm.
And I see this as another example of bastardization of our institutions.
Mm.
And because we're not really a democratic country in the real sense of it, you know, many times people allow emotions, you know, to be cloud their sense of judgment. And because the killing of the soldiers was, you know, is quite reprehensible, some people don't want to look at, you know, due process. Some people don't want to look at, you know, doing this the right way. They just want a pound of flesh. They just want blood to spill.
Mm.
And I am saying to you that this is not how to govern a country. This is not how to build faith in our institutions. This is not how to make the armed forces to command respect. Because if we are going to be honest with ourselves, the Nigerian armed forces does not have the respect or command the respect of Nigerians that it used to have. I was in Abuja a few days ago, and as I was heading to the airport, you could see the military guy in his full camouflage, standing on the road begging people for money. This is not what the our armed forces used to be known for, right? You now have soldiers carrying, you know, handbags for girlfriends of politicians. You know, you now have our armed forces, you know, engaging in separating two fighting. You have armed forces coordinating traffic. We have our armed forces in the marketplace. There is nothing that our Nigerian soldiers are not doing today. Sometimes you wonder whether armed forces is competing with Boy Scout or Boys Brigade. Our armed forces have been so bastardized by the political establishment. Every conflict, they send soldiers. This is not supposed to be so. They are abusing our soldiers. Our soldiers are all, as a matter of fact, we are not supposed to be seeing military all over the place in a democracy, in civic spaces.
Mm.
The military ought to be confined to the barracks by, even constitutionally, if you look at what the Constitution says, right? If you look at the provisions of the Constitution, the military ought to only be invited when the civil authorities are overwhelmed. That is what Section 200.
But do you not think that our civil authorities are overwhelmed? Do you not see that our police is overstretched? Do you not think that that's why they have been reduced to what you have said to be a checkpoint in within the country and across the country? Do you not think that we've gotten to that place?
It has to be on a case-by-case basis. Regarding this particular incident in the community, I do not agree with you that the Delta State Police Command lacked the capacity to resolve whatever was going on in that community.
But they couldn't get access to the state. But they couldn't get access to those communities. It became news when the Delta State Police Commissioner said they couldn't get access to Okwama or Okalama community to be able to ascertain what was happening on the ground.
No. They could not gain access when the military went there after the soldiers were killed.
Yes.
That is my reading of the press statement. That the military, in fact, even the governor was denied access to the community. You cannot have that in a serious country. that the governor of a state is not able to have access to a territory within his jurisdiction, to a territory within his state? What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Is the headquarters of Boko Haram in that community? What are they telling us? What is special about that community that the police could not have intervened? Are there no leaders in that community known to the government? This is just another example of failure of the Nigerian state. And the government should take responsibility for it. Our soldiers are being used, you know, arbitrarily, and I've always opposed it. But like I said, sometimes the emotions are very high. So when you speak about these issues, people don't really want to look at what the law says or what is ought to be obtainable in a democratic setup. I do not see why this how this is right. And to make it worse, the victims, it is soldiers who were attacked, and then it is also the military that is trying to investigate the matter. Do you think that we can have a proper investigation in this circumstance? Particularly when these individuals are not subject to service law?
It's a very sensitive and dicey situation that we found ourselves in. But I want to ask you, and I know that you may not have the answer to this question, but why do you think that this has been shrouded in so much secrecy? I have just 1 minute before I go on a break, but if you can paint a picture why we're where we are right now, where we really can't tell what the true story is.
It is secret because the truth may be harmful to those who are investigating, right? It is possible that if the facts are set out, if full disclosure is made, Nigerians may have a different picture of what led to the very tragic killing of our soldiers. Have we not seen in this country how funds that are meant to purchase equipment for the armed forces have been stolen by people in high command in the armed forces? Have we not seen that over the years? What are they telling us? Nobody should deceive Nigerians that our military institutions or leadership, you know, have serious credibility. The military is suffering from deficit, trust deficit. That has to be addressed.
We'll have to go on a quick break. We still have with us Inibere Fiong. He's a human rights lawyer. We'll be right back after this quick break. It's still A's and Nays on Hard Facts. Yes, it is still Hard Facts, the nation's number one talk news and sports radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're broadcasting live from our audiovisual studios right here in Itumiyan Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos. I'm still being joined live via Zoom by human rights lawyer Inibere Fiong. And we've been talking about the recent developments in Delta State, which has also trickled down into Bayelsa, and of course the human rights angle to it. But of course, I think what we've all been able to establish is that we don't even know what the truth is about what's happened in Delta State. Yes, people have died, soldiers have been honored, but what exactly brought these soldiers into the mix in the first place? And what about the people who have been one way or the other killed or sustained injury because of the, well, according to the Niger Delta Ijo youth leader, Jonathan Lokbobri, he's saying that, look, people were killed. Bodies are floating on River Non and no one's taking responsibility for it. But I say, Nibaga, before we went on that break, I wanted to ask you, we have a National Assembly. The Senate president got a lot of flack for saying that, you know, the killers were not from amongst the community. Mr. President has gotten flack for saying in the first place that they should, you know, weed out the perpetrators of these acts of violence. But then everybody's saying, what about the people in these communities? Who's speaking up for them? And they have representatives. They have a governor, like you mentioned. They have House of Assembly members. What about the rights of the people in these communities? And this is not the first time, obviously, things like this have happened.
The truth is that our institutions are, again, I want to emphasize, our institutions are barely functioning. You have a situation where an unfortunate the incident happened. You have members of the armed forces killed. And then it seems that the default response is to invade, is to massacre, is to resort to self-help or indiscriminate killing or, in quotes, leveling of the community. I think that is a primitive way to behave as a country. It doesn't speak well of us as a member of the international community. The killing of the soldiers, again, I want to emphasize, is completely inexcusable. But, you know, the whole essence of power and the credibility of power lies in the capacity for restraint. If one has power and lacks the capacity to restrain the exercise of that power, it makes nonsense of that power. That power loses credibility. That power loses its usefulness. And that power then becomes a subject of challenge. Right? The state is supposed to have monopoly of violence. The state is supposed to have the absolute authority on the use of force. But when that force is used wrongly, it negates the very foundation of a state. And that is what has been going on in our country. Nigerians are aware of what happened in OD. Nigerians are aware of what happened in Zagibia. These are tales of mass murder and slaughter of Nigerians by the armed forces in reprisal for the killing of their men. And I keep saying that this is against civilization. This is not how we are going to make progress as a country. If soldiers were killed, it should be possible to identify those who killed the soldiers, the perpetrators, and then bring them to justice in line with the law. But when you now resort to collective punishment and say if military personnel, members of the armed forces are killed in your community, you are guilty by association, you are guilty by origin, by the mere fact of your association with that community, by the mere fact of your being a member of that community or originating from that community, that makes you a subject of attack, that makes you a legitimate target to be killed, that makes your property, you know, liable to be leveled, to be burned. This is not how to govern a country.
But the army has come out to say, Mr. Effiong, the army has come out to say that there was no reprisal, that members of those communities should desist from the use of propaganda, that they have not embarked on any form of reprisal. So there was no massacre in the first place.
Why is access to the community not allowed? Why is access to the community restricted? Can you as a journalist go to that village now to really assess what happened? The answer is no. Why is access not allowed? How are we going to assess the situation if the governor, even the governor of the state, is not allowed to assess the community? I don't know if people understand what is at stake. That in those communities, you would have people, or possibly have people, right, who are suffering from terminal illnesses. You would have newborn babies, possibly in that community. You may even have a primary health center where there are patients that are depending on medication to survive. You will have people that need to be assisted to live. You may have people that are very vulnerable in those communities. So what becomes of them? Because when you now say the governor cannot even enter the place, even the police is not allowed access, the armed forces has taken over. What does that mean? Is Nigeria at war? Is the community at war with Nigeria, right? For us to have a blockade? This is the point. I am not saying that, I'm not defending anything. I'm not holding brief for anybody. I'm just saying that if you are going to gain the trust of the public, then the process of response must also be trustworthy. There has to be credibility to it.
Okay. I want to take quick calls. We have people who want to be part of the conversation. They might have questions and comments also. I'd like to open up the phone line 020-1465-7190. I can take very quick calls, 020-1465-7190. I have about 5 minutes on the clock, so go join the conversation. If you have questions, comments, I'll keep it at 30 seconds so that we can make the best use of our time. Hello, welcome to Hard Facts.
Hi, Miriam.
Good evening. You have 30 seconds. Remy, go ahead.
Yeah, greetings to Inbe Epyong. The government only wants one narrative. Their soldiers were killed, and that is all. They understand the media will only propagate as what they want. They don't want you guys to say another narrative than Nigerian soldiers were killed. And they've been doing that. Are you telling me nobody died in that community? And are we like saying we don't believe nobody died? The governor alluded to a president attack from the military a few days ago. He said houses were burnt, people were killed. But what is the way forward? That was his statement.
Okay, all right.
What are we talking about? What are we saying about that?
All right, Rebby, thank you very much for calling. I'll keep you at 30 seconds. Hello. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Good evening, Miriam.
Yes, good evening.
This is Mrs. Oboli calling from Ikorodu.
30 seconds.
Okay, so we are still here where we are speculating what happened exactly at Okukoma community. So far, so good. We've heard the side of the army, the perspective of the army, but we've not known really what happened. And this is a gross abuse on people's rights. Some women, children, are in the bush there. Even men, likewise, are in the bush. They're passing through one ordeal or the other. They can't even access their homes because the army has taken over. If you were there or somebody else was there, we'll really know, we'll fill in the gap. But now we're just here speculating.
All right.
Now they have given them awards and everything. Other people, Lunko.
All right, Mr. Boli, I have to take all the calls. Thank you very much for calling. 30 seconds. Let's keep to time. Hello. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, good evening.
I can hear you. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Joseph Oti Toko, but I'm calling you from Bokno.
Quickly, go ahead. You have 30 seconds.
Mr. Sion, God bless you. You are so much on point. That's why I love listening to you. But then let me make my contribution very clear. See, the problem we have in this country is official reports. The army has come out to say, what about the things that the people of Okwama is saying? What about what they have to say about what the army did when they got to Okwama? Nobody cares about that.
Okay.
What do you expect the army to say?
All right.
An official report. Army come out to tell you that these people went there to
30 seconds
the land,
is the time that you have.
And then the soldiers were killed.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. I'll take one quick call and then, Mr. Idibelofiong, you're going to wrap this up. Hello. Welcome to Hard Facts. Sorry about that. Do call me back. Hello. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Hello. Good evening, Miriam.
Good evening. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Mr. Marek. I'm calling from Adra.
30 seconds. Go ahead. Quickly.
Okay. First of all, I will really say a big thank you to your guest. Like, he has really said everything. Because this country, I don't know, we really lack credibility. There are some certain things you do. First of all, you have to make sure you find evidence on certain things before taking action. Even if maybe militaries were key or anything, but at least there should be a swift intervention.
Okay.
Not just giving an order.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. I have to let you go because of time. Mr. Fiong, I mean, in conclusion, because it looks like we're back to where we started from. We've gone round in circles, speculated, tried to catch things in the air, but we're still here. In closing, because you have a few seconds, what's the way forward?
The conclusion of the matter is that the government, the president particularly on this matter, hasn't lived up to expectation. The federal government has not shown responsibility in the handling of the crisis. Or if I should even call it crisis. I will not agree that everybody in that community participated in the killing of the soldiers. I don't understand why the community should be put under siege. It is completely unacceptable. Let the soldiers be withdrawn from the community. If there are people that are suspected of commission of crime, they should be invited by the police or be arrested for interrogation. Those who are guilty should be charged to court. We cannot run like a primitive society of the 12th century.
Okay.
Where might is right.
All right. Well, I want to say thank you. Always a pleasure to have you. Inibelofiong is a human rights lawyer. Thank you so much for taking out time to be with us on A's and Nays today on Hard Facts. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.